Good evening, Rabbi Mayevsky. As we finished off the parasha last week, we've seen in the last 2 weeks that Moshe was told because he misapplied what God told him, he did what he wasn't supposed to do. Now he's not going to lead the Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And he's faced with a problem over here, who is going to take his place. And of course he's not sure, and Chazal want to speculate and say that Moshe would have liked one of his children to be. But of course that was not to be, and Moshe is concerned who will be that person who is able to be. And we look for people who can step forward. Yoshua, on one hand, was obviously, he had been at Moshe's side for the past 40 years. He had been following him around, in addition to Aaron, of course, being at his side and being his confidant, but Yoshua just watching him operate. Miriam, of course, being close at hand and also being a confidant that he had for these 40 years. Certainly his big sister who saved his life. But we're looking for the next leader. And Moshe exhibits all the signs of the quintessential leader. And what do I mean by that? We have people not trying to step forward to be that leader. But Moshe Rabbeinu has nurtured the people that will follow him. It's not just Yoshua. But the parsha that we are calling this week is Parshas Pinchas. And the interesting thing is, it begins Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. We finished off the last week's parsha that Vayikach Romach b'yado v'yikoreh shneihem. Pinchas stepped forward and he took nekama for Bnei Yisrael. He took nekama for Hashem. What was the reason that Pinchas was able to do it? We are told that we have Kanoyim Pogimbo, that in while somebody's in the commission of committing a crime, one may take revenge. He may one put him to death if he's only during the commission of the crime. Once it's over, he has no right. He can bring him to trial if there are witnesses and various things of that nature, but he cannot administer any punishment on his own. And the interesting fact is that I wanted to say was that Moshe Rabbeinu, one might think, how could it possibly be that he doesn't know this halacha? And in fact, also we see later on in the parsha, is that Benos Lofgod came and they asked him a question in terms of inheritance, that their father had no sons and therefore they were wondering, it's not fair that he didn't do anything that should cause him to lose his family inheritance just because he has only 5 daughters and no sons, that we have been told the laws of inheritance go to only the male children. Moshe should have known all of this as well. He learned all the laws on Har Sinai, and therefore he must have known all these things. But what we see, the emergence of a leader of this major magnitude is, as we had a couple of times previously when we put to death the 2 people before the Mekoshe Sheitzim and the person that cursed the name of God, and all these things he has to go and ask God. And the point is over here, a leader has to be somebody who's not afraid to say, I don't know. That's step number one. He has to be able to say, I need help, and I can't do it. Pinchas here steps forward, and he remembers what Moshe had taught him. Therefore, Moshe, we must realize that he knew it. And if that's the case, if Moshe taught this to him, then how could it be possible that Moshe forgot this? So one might speculate that the situation over here was that Bnei Yisrael were fraternizing with Benos Midyan, and even though it says Benos Moab, but this woman in particular, Cosby, was from Midyan. And the reality is, as I mentioned last week, all of these women really were from Benos Midyan. It was their idea to get the ball rolling in this manner. But Moshe may have been a little leery of stepping forward here because, in fact, he himself was married to Tzipporah, a Gioras. And now, since a lot of people were still concerned about Moshe being married to her, he didn't want to be the one to administer justice, so to speak, on this point. But the fact is, he still nurtures the people who do step forward. He nurtures Elazar HaKohen, he nurtures his son Pinchas. Perhaps on this hand, Pinchas was eager to step forward and kill Zimri and Cosby for the simple reason that he remembers only too well the chait of the Egel. And what happened with the chayt of the eger was his grandfather failed to give up his life, as opposed to Pinchas now realizing that that was a major error on his grandfather's part, and understanding now that this is one of the main reasons why Aaron had to die in the Midbar, not so much for the rock, that was his second chance, but the first chance that almost totally sealed the deal, so to speak, was Aaron's part in the Egel. And he did not stop the people. He didn't take the reins and stop the whole proceedings while Moshe was gone. Pinchas now saw the opportunity to step forward and rectify his grandfather's mistake, his grandfather's error in judgment, and be the one to take the Nekamah, not for himself, not for his own glory in any way, shape, or form, but only for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And for that, he gets Berisku Hunas Olam. That's one thing. The person who nurtures him to be this person is Moshe Rabbeinu. Yoshua, who will step forward, is also being nurtured by Moshe Rabbeinu. Elazar HaKohen, it says, V'shoa lo b'mishpatu rim. Even after he appoints Yoshua, the people are concerned, and Yoshua certainly does not, and as everyone knows, even Moshe knows, he does not have the same capabilities as Moshe himself, but he is so concerned for the future of Klal Yisrael. We see too many times that basically when somebody is elected to office, he's not trying to nurture his replacement for the last couple of years of his term. He really doesn't care who replaces him. He's only looked to strike down the person if he exists past that time. He doesn't really care who replaces him. Moshe Rabbeinu utters the phrase, V'lo siyeh adas Hashem katzon asher ein lahem roeh, that they don't want to be a flock of sheep who has no master or has no shepherd. And the thing, the point of it is, even a shepherd who is watching his flock, he may be a very good shepherd tending to his flock, but he may be doing it because he knows that if he doesn't do a proper job, he won't get paid, or he will, if he loses any sheep, it'll come out of his pay. And so he has an ulterior motive for taking care of the flock. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, and then somebody who tends to his flock only because he's totally and only concerned for the flock, he is concerned for the welfare of the sheep, doesn't care about all the times like Yaakov Avinu, who said, Vatidach Nasime, and I, for 20 years I didn't get any sleep tending the flock because I was concerned for them. Moshe Rabbeinu is tending his flock, his Klal Yisrael, these 3 million people, he's tending them as a parent tends to the child. And he says, V'lo siyeh adas Hashem katzon. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, V'nosatcha mehotcha olog, he says to give him part of your glory, put one hand on his head. But Moshe Rabbeinu, concerned with some, he puts both hands on his head because he is totally concerned not for himself, not for his own self-aggrandizement. He's not trying to win any votes. Moshe Rabbeinu was never trying to win votes. He obviously went against the grain so many times, coming down very hard. He wasn't taking a popularity poll. He wasn't sending out all the Harris poll or the Nielsen ratings. He wasn't looking to see how many people his approval rating wasn't high or low. He never cared about that. He only had one agenda, the survival of Bnei Yisrael before, and now he's concerned about the survival of Bnei Yisrael after. And so he's concerned with Yoshua, with Pinchas, with Elazar, who will be the next leaders in Klal Yisrael. And this is his whole tafkid. This is his whole life. We see too many times politicians, once they leave office, they couldn't care less what happens. If they're not in office, they don't really care anymore. It's not my problem. And that's the way it is. Moshe Rabbeinu was never stopped being Acharei Mosi Ki Ashreis Tashlisun. I see the future. You have to trust me. You must continue to abide by the laws. And he never stops reminding them of all of these things. And you see that Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen and Why does it mention? I always say that it gives you only enough information when it gives you the lineage of a person. It always is for a purpose. And obviously it's telling us the people who might have thought originally, there are a lot of people who tried. Pinchas came with a little bit of a posse, so to speak, to make sure that he wouldn't be harmed, because he realized what he was about to do was a very dangerous thing. To kill a Nasi and also to kill a foreign princess was also a very dangerous game, and this could have severe consequences. But he is willing, as opposed to his grandfather, he is willing to give up his life. He's taking a lesson from Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, what is the purpose of telling us? Because people made fun of him because they're thinking, Pinchas, he was a murderer. He killed these two people. The only way he could have killed a fellow Jew for this purpose must be because he has on his mother's side, he comes from non-Jews, and he has the traits of non-Jews. And the Torah is telling us that Pinchas reacted the way he did. His actions were governed by the fact that it was Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, a man who loved peace, who was a Rodev Shalom, and sometimes a Rodev Shalom to ensure peace, one must take physical action. Sometimes violence is necessary to bring about peace, and that is the lesson that we have here. But all of these things are nurtured from them. And when we get to the story of Tzolofkod ben Chefer ben Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe, I always like to mention this particular thing. Why does it go that far back? It could have just said, Vatik Ravna beno Tzolofkod ben Chefer ben Gilad. Or why does it keep on going? We never see that. Ben Chefer ben Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe, Lemish Bechos Menashe ben Yosef. This is just a reminder for the people who haven't heard before. Of course, we see in the end of Vayechi, when Yaakov gives the blessings to all his children, it says about after Yaakov passes away, and it says about Yosef, till when did he leave, and what were his progeny, what did they produce? It says, Gam Mochir ben Menashe, you'll do al berkei Yosef. It's giving us that lineage, tracing all the way back, that the reason that they wanted their chelik in Eretz Yisrael, they could have said, well, half of the Shevet Menashe is staying Eivra Hayarden, we'll stay Eivra Hayarden, and we'll get plenty of land Eivra Hayarden, because that wasn't going to be divvied up in the same manner, and we'll have land over there. But they wanted a share in the land of Eretz Yisrael. That love of the land of Eretz Yisrael was passed down through the generations, because B'nai Mochir, Ben Menashe, Yuldu, they grew up, these people, this line of male heirs, grew up at the feet of Yosef. Yosef was the person who could not wait to get to Eretz Yisrael, while, as I mentioned last week, they carried his bones for 40 years in the Midbar. Imagine, and that was inspiration for them, and that's why Yosef also, even in death, he was inspirational leader at the same time. But all of these things were inspiration, comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. And we are once again told we shouldn't think that Moshe Rabbeinu himself is due all of this kavod, because it tells us again how many times have we been told that Vayivoleid Li'Amram Mir Yocheved, you know, Moshe's parents were Yocheved and Amram. Obviously, all of these traits. How often do we see that one family gives birth to three children, and all three children, not only are they prophets, but they are of the magnitude of Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. This is a singular family in the history of the world that produces three people of such magnitude, led, of course, by Moshe Rabbeinu, who has the ultimate concern for Klal Yisrael. May we all have leaders of that magnitude that are willing to sacrifice themselves for Klal Yisrael. Moshe did that. His whole life was never concerned for himself. He didn't fly on Air Force One. He didn't take trips around the world. He stayed with his flock for 40 years, risking his life so many times. What was in Moshe's mind? God didn't say to him, that you'll take the Jews out of Mitzrayim and go before Paro. God never says, don't worry, I won't let Pharaoh kill you. Doesn't say those words in the Chumash. Of course, we would understand, but Moshe just goes and does what he's told because he knows that this is the future and all he's concerned about is our future. May we live up to the standards that Moshe tried to set for us. Have a good week. Thank you very much.